can we please talk about UFC Fight Night Orlando coming our way this weekend, headlined by Stephen Wonderboy Thompson taking on Kevin Holland. That's going to be a fun one. But there's, honestly, this fight card is so stacked. There is just a ridiculous, it's a ridiculous night. You've got Clay Guida on there. Shout out to Marcus Dacasey taking on Michael Johnson. That's going to be an incredible fight. There's a lot of very good fights on this. I haven't got time to break them all down, but I picked out some of the ones that I'm looking forward to personally the most. So if you just want to learn a little bit more about some of these fighters on this card, and maybe look for some sort of reasonings to place some terrible bets, because I just place terrible bets and I enjoy doing it. But the research is all real. The research isn't terrible. The bets that I then choose to put on are usually terrible. So let's start off in the middleweight division. You've got Derek Brunson, blonde Brunson. I still believe he does have that blonde hairstyle. He's almost still undefeated. He's only lost once as blonde Brunson. He's taking on Jack Hermanson. Now, both guys, they're trying to fight their way back into the middleweight title picture. Both of these guys were not far off a middleweight title shot not long ago. Not long ago at all. So Brunson was, he'd gone on a real tear before he got knocked out by Cannonier. Look, there's no shame in being knocked out by Jared Cannonier. The dude hits like a fucking truck. Hermanson, he's just trying to string together more than one win in a row. His record is a little bit patchy. He seems to go win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. And he won last time, so the pattern convention would say that he's going to lose this time. That's not a good way to bet, guys. Just saying, that's how I look at things sometimes. But just so, you know, that's like tossing a coin. Now, Brunson, he is, when he's on form, he's excellent at offensive wrestling. His top control is very, very good. Hermanson is also good off his back, though. He does attack with good sweeps, and he likes to attack the legs as well. You remember he got that leg lock on Kelvin Gastelum. I think he submitted him with that. And yeah, he does attack the legs quite a lot. So Brunson's going to have to watch for that. However, I would say that Brunson, he is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt under Renzo Gracie. So I don't think you're catching him in a leg lock. I really don't. I mean, and the thing is, his MMA grappling is very good as well. It translates very well to MMA, the way that he uses it. One thing I would say that he's got to watch for is Hermanson has a very good guillotine and he catches people a fair amount in it. But by the same token, Brunson is so good at wrestling and his jiu-jitsu is at quite a high level. I don't think he's going to be leaving his head and neck in an area for Hermanson to grab hold of it. Don't get me wrong, it could happen. Anybody can get caught, and Hermanson does attack the guillotine a lot, so it could be something that we'll see. But honestly, when I surmise this, I give Brunson the edge in just about every area. I know that Hermanson has decent striking, but I think that Brunson is just slightly better. He throws those long punches slightly better, and he's got a little bit more power. And in the grappling, I just think that Brunson has the edge. I think especially if Brunson is in top control, I feel like Brunson has a crushing top game. Couple that with his knowledge of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I don't think that the defensive submissions, the attacking submissions off the back for Hermanson are going to be as effective as they sometimes can be. I feel like we'll see a lot of ground and pound, and if the opportunity presents itself, a submission. But I am leaning towards Derek Brunson in this one. I'm not super confident about it because Hermanson, he's a bit of a wild card. He is the Joker. He's a wild card, man. So, you know, he can easily pull something out. But for me, my money will be going on Derek Brunson to get the finish. I don't know what the odds are on that yet because they haven't got the methods up. So, Taito Iwasa against Sergey Pavlovich, 265-pound heavyweight division. And this is a brilliant heavyweight fight. You've got Tui Vasa, the crowd favourite, shoey-drinking Australian phenom, against the Russian powerhouse, who is just, he's just a very scary guy. Just the stoic Russian guy who just goes in there to kill, basically. Now, Pavlovich, he does have a decent reach advantage here. That could be a problem for Taito Iwasa. But Taito Iwasa, he's often on the losing end of reach advantage. Yeah, it's a 9-inch reach advantage Pavlovich has got. So that's not insignificant, is it? But as I said, Tuivasa, he does tend to always be at a reach disadvantage, and he still usually gets inside, because what the man does better than most is he bites down on the mouthpiece and he throws. He thrives in that chaos. Pavlovich, he's much more measured. His technical striking is probably a little bit better, but one thing, the card that Tuivasa plays that is his ace in the hole is the fact that he's a real old school fighter, in that he just likes to fight. If he wasn't in the UFC, he would be a doorman fighting people every weekend, because he just loves it. He enjoys it. He thrives in that chaos. He thrives under that pressure. And Pavlovich is going to bring that pressure. He will. Like, he's a pressure fighter. He's quite busy with his hands, to be fair. When you look at, like, the significant strikes, you can see he's far busier. 6.83 per minute to 4.12 for Tuivasa. Tuivasa's quite active himself, to be fair. But for me, it's, will Pavlovich get drawn into the chaos? Because I think the best way for Pavlovich to win this fight is to not get drawn into that chaos, to use his reach to just keep on touching Tuivasa until he sees an opening to go in and go for the kill. But you've got to be careful there, because people that go in the kill, ask Derek Lewis what it's like to go in for the kill against Tai Tuivasa, because Tai Tuivasa, he will just throw back, and he has got dynamite in those hands. And he could put people out, because don't forget, Pavlovich has been knocked out before by Alistair Overeem, because he fought Alistair Overeem quite a few years back now in the UFC, but he did get knocked out. So it shows that he can be knocked out. It's heavyweight. Any of these guys can be knocked out. There's a lot of power being thrown around. So look, for me, the keys here are Tuivasa can make this nasty. I like the odds on Tuivasa. Tuivasa is coming in as the underdog here. And I'm not confident. This isn't a pick. I'm not saying that Tuivasa is going to win, because Pavlovich is a bit of a destroyer. Like, let's be fair to him. But the ace in the hole Tuivasa has is that chaos. And I feel like if he can create some chaos, Tuivasa can win this fight. And that's what I'm going with. My head goes with Pavlovich probably, but my heart goes with Tuivasa all the way, and that's where my money's going. I'm betting with my heart this week. I'm betting all in with my heart, Tuivasa to get the knockout. Come on, let's get you back into another fight with Ciryl Gane, because that was a great fight. So, like, he gave Ciryl Gane everything he could handle and more. Name another person other than Tai Tuivasa that has had a competitive fight like with Ciryl Gane, where he's looked like he's going to finish him, because Ngannou didn't look like he was going to finish Ciryl Gane at any point. I know he got the win, but he did that. Ciryl Gane is so good, he turned Francis Ngannou into a wrestler. And we saw Tuivasa get into a kickboxing match basically with Ciryl Gane, and he had a lot of success. So look, if he can have success against Ciryl Gane, not being funny, Tuivasa can have success against anybody. And I just like the guy. I think he's a brilliant personality to have in the sport. And I just hope that he wins more than anything. So, yeah, let's move on to Brian Barberena versus Rafael dos Anjos in the welterweight division. You've got the legend killer going up against another legend. This one is a very interesting fight. I am putting this exclusively over onto my Patreon. So if you would like to see this little breakdown, please head over to the Burt Locker on Patreon. Much appreciated. So this is a super fun fight. Brian Barberena, he is on a tear, and he just lives up to the name Bam Bam. He loves to throw, and because he managed to get Robbie Lawler out there, that's hard to do. I know that Robbie Lawler is not what Robbie Lawler used to be, but it was still very impressive. Dos Anjos, when we saw him against Moicano, he seemed to be back on absolutely rare form. His kickboxing was just out of this world. He mixed it up so well and just did so much damage. But then they put him in against Fazeev, and Fazeev kind of cleaned his clock a bit. But Fazeev is like a top, like elite level kickboxer. Fazeev's kickboxing is unbelievable. So you've got to kind of... Do I think that Barberena's stand-up, his striking, is on the level of Rafael Fazeev? I don't. I don't think that for a second. Do I think he's got power? Do I think he's difficult? Do I think he presents problems? Yes. 100 times. Yeah. Of course he does. Now, If Rafael dos Anjos fights the same way that he fought Moicano, I think that there's a chance he might run rings around Barbarena here. Because look, RDA is not the same kind of striker that Robbie Lawler, he's too willing to engage in the kind of fight that Barbarena enjoys. Same with Matt Brown as well. Those two legends that Barbarena has on his record, with respect to them both, the reason they're fun to watch is because Matt Brown and Robbie Lawler, they're both embrace the chaos, much like Taito Iwasa. They embrace the chaos. They go in there to get into a war. RDA, he can survive in a war. He is a crafty, grizzled veteran, but he's also a very elite level striker, and he's not going to engage in the kind of fight that Barbarena wants him to engage in. He is going to be light on his feet. He's going to work around. He's going to work the legs. He's going to work the midsection. He's going to work the head. He's going to throw so many different looks at Barbarena. I'm not sure how Barbarena is going to react to that. You have also got to take into account that Rafael dos Anjos is elite on the ground. Elite level, fourth dan black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He's also a former world Jiu-Jitsu champion. So he actually mixes it into, because that doesn't always translate to MMA brilliantly, but it does for RDA. RDA has 10 submissions in MMA, which is a lot for anybody. Do you know what I mean? Now, Barbarena, he's relatively tough to take down, 55%. So 1 in 2, he kind of gives up, but He doesn't really entertain the grappling. He doesn't tend to shoot back himself. Whereas RDA, he mixes in the takedowns really well. Remember what he did to Anthony Pettis. No, not Anthony Pettis. It might have been Anthony Pettis. There was Anthony Pettis and there's Benson Henderson. I think it might have been Benson Henderson. Either way, RDA, he mixes in the takedowns really, really effectively for MMA. And this, for me, I think this is a tougher fight for Barbarena than Pete. Like, the bookies have him down as the favourite. But for me, I don't know, this is a tough fight for him. Because RDA, he looked great against Moicano. Obviously, he got into a kickboxing match with one of the best kickboxers alive right now in Rafael Fiziev. No shame in losing that one. But if Rafael dos Anjos turns up and he fights the way that we know he can fight, I don't think that Brian Barbarena on his best day beats Rafael dos Anjos on his best day. I don't think that that happens. So this all depends on which Rafael dos Anjos turns up, how much his age has caught up with him, how much his long career has caught up with him. But we saw, you know, a glimmer of the old Rafael dos Anjos against Moicano not too long ago. So we all know that Rafael dos Anjos was still there at that point. If he's still there now, then Brian Barbarena's in trouble. I would take Rafael dos Anjos. I'd lean towards the submission, but I would take the finish either way. Then you've got the main event, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson taking on Kevin Holland. This is a really fun fight at 170 pounds because Thompson, he's the longtime pillar of the welterweight division, point fighting karate fighter who's just respectful as all hell, and that's really nice. But then you've got him against Kevin Holland, who's also, he's not disrespectful, but he talks a lot of trash. They call him Big Mouth in the octagon because he talks a lot of trash as he's fighting. He talks a lot. Now, when I look at their skill sets, honestly, for me, I feel like this is a very tough matchup for Stephen Thompson. He's coming off two losses, being to Benil Dariush and Bilal Muhammad. Look, he just got outmatched in both of those fights. I think he's just starting to get to a point where his style is not as elusive and effective as it once was, because he's been around for a long time and these other guys are starting to catch up. Also, his style is based a lot on his reactions and his speed. And he's 37 now. The reactions and speed are the first things to go. That's why the heavyweight, the heavier the weight class, the older the fighters generally, because the last thing to go is power. So when you're a big wrestler, like in the heavyweight division, you can still wrestle, you can still throw with power until your mid-40s. Randy Couture showed us that. But at welterweight, it's just not quite the same. Now, Kevin Holland, he's just got a hell of a skill set. He's got very long limbs. He strikes long very, very well. I don't think he's necessarily going to win a kickboxing match with Stephen Thompson, but I've seen stranger things happen. What I could see this happening is that Holland, he's very good at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Really, really good. He is a black belt and a legit black belt as well. He's got great long arms for Das chokes, which he does go for. He also goes for guillotines as well. He's very good at using those arms to sync up like submissions, like those neck submissions. The neck, always protect your neck. Neck first, because they're like, percentage-wise, it's something like 90% of all submissions are done on the neck. Something like that, anyway. Yeah, Thompson, for me, you've got Kevin Holland. He can strike. He's got some decent striking as well, and he's got confidence in his striking, which is he's definitely going to have the power advantage over Stephen Thompson. Stephen Thompson hasn't knocked anybody out since I think it was Johnny Hendricks, and since that would have been 2016, and he's not knocked anybody out since then that I'm aware of. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I might be wrong there, but in my head, Stephen Thompson hasn't knocked anybody out since he knocked out Johnny Hendricks. I don't think he doesn't seem to catch people anymore, because it's just his style has been seen. People have mapped it out. The blueprint to beat Stephen Thompson has been written. And I feel like Kevin Holland now is taking things a bit more seriously. He got ragdolled by Khamzat Chimaev, but that was like short notice, opponent change, and it's Khamzat Chimaev, for God's sake. Do you know what I mean? He just got dry humped again. But when Kevin Holland's not, I don't think Kevin Holland has got to worry about Stephen Thompson shooting a power double on him and trying to grapple him for three rounds. I just don't think he's got that to worry about. So without that to worry about, he's gonna get striking going, and he does. He's got good reach. He does fight long very well, and he's got good power. I think he's probably going to carry the power advantage over Stephen Thompson. He also has outstanding grappling. So to summarize this, I really feel like Stephen Thompson only has one way to win this fight, which is to point fight and stay ahead on the scorecards. Whereas Kevin Holland, I don't think the easiest way for him to win is to strike, but I think he can probably strike with Stephen Thompson. And if he gets this to the ground, Stephen Thompson is in a whole world of trouble, because I feel like that might be a hot knife through butter. I feel like Kevin Holland is just at a much higher level on the ground, and he will find that submission. And that is the bet that I'm going for. I'm going for Kevin Holland by submission, and we will see Stephen Thompson going to the analyst desk. Not in any disrespectful way. I think he's a fantastic analyst, but he's already got one foot out of the door. And I kind of think that's another bad thing for Stephen Thompson. Like when Frankie Edgar said that he was already retiring, like no matter what after his next fight, I knew that Gutierrez was going to then just flatline him, because you can't be one foot out of the door. These guys in the UFC are too good. Every single one of them are too bloody good for you to be going in there against them with one foot out of the door. You can't be one foot in, one foot out. You've got to be all in. I don't think Stephen Thompson is all in anymore, and I think he's going to pay for it this weekend. So I will be putting those bets on. I'll do a post with my accumulator as usual. It'll be trash. It's a trash accumulator, but it's fun. Let me know in the comments, what are you betting on? I always love to talk about this kind of stuff. Anyway, I'll be wrapping these up about the same time next week. Until then, keep those odds lying and those bets terrible.